This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 16th of January, 2018. My name is Patrick Smith. 22 seconds, eh? Yeah! Anyway, what a weekend for the Belfast Giants. Productive weekend, an enjoyable weekend, and no doubt it's going to be an upbeat podcast, isn't that right, Mr. McGimsey?
It is going to be an upbeat podcast, Paddy, and one thing that I've just done, as we're about to take a trip down memory lane, I must tell you, I was in the shop tonight, and I've just bought a bottle of Robinson's Lemon Barley Water. It takes me back, my granny used to give it when I was a wee lad, back in East Belfast, and I've just poured myself a pint, and I am ready to roll.
Do they still serve that at Wimbledon?
I think they do. It's the official drink of the...
I don't think it is.
Isn't that like Stella?
It says in the bottle here, says the official drink of the Wimbledon Tennis Championships.
Probably about 20-year-old, that bottle, the way you live in Bristol, Nick. I think it's Evian water now. I've seen all those big signs are in the place.
I've just seen the best before. Same date as your jokes.
So at least I have my own jokes. You have to stay down at the end of the day.
And the beat machine is used early. Well, Mr. Kitchen, have you found a pen?
Yes, I have, mate.
Yes!
I got one today off Cover Clark Car, since we're jumping sponsors in. I went into work today and left the one out of there, so it's good crack.
You've got your voice back at least.
Oh, flip me. I'd hardly talked on a Sunday at all. Jasmine had a wee friend round, and they were running about the house, and I just sat in the living room watching football and hockey all day, so didn't really have to talk, which was great.
Yeah, man, we'll come back to the reasons behind that, I'm sure, in a short while. Let's get started, boys, because it was a fantastic weekend for the Belfast Giants. It was a challenging weekend for the Belfast Giants, but one ultimately that drew 4 points. As we normally do with a doubleheader, I'll throw out all the statistics with regards to the two games, and we'll discuss them as a whole. On Friday night, the Panthers visited the SSE Arena for the first time in this doubleheader, but they were subject to a 5-2 defeat as the Giants walked out with the points. It was Nottingham who scored first, 1:04 on the clock with Mark Delago, but Sebastian Silvestre on the power play just over a minute later levelled things. Tim Billingsley pushed the Nottingham Panthers ahead once again. This is all still in the first period and still in the first 5 minutes of the game. But Spiro Galagos, with a lovely finish, made it 2-2 to close out that first period. Jonathan Ferland, again, a lovely goal. I think all the goals that the Giants scored on Friday night were lovely. But the Jonathan Ferland made it 3-2 to the Giants. And then Sebastian Silvestre and an empty netter from Brendan Connolly made it 5-2. In goals, Jackson Whistle, 25 shots, 23 saves. On the other side, Patrick Galbraith started for the Nottingham Panthers, 43 shots, 39 saves. Your two referees for the night were Dean Smith and Jan Schmeichel, who I don't think really were part of the game that much, but we'll come back to that. And then we move on to what was a much tougher game on the Saturday night, again against the Nottingham Panthers. But the Giants walked out of there 6-4 winners. It was one of great entertainment. I think before I put out a tweet thinking, you know, you've got desperation of the Nottingham Panthers looking to get the points and the Giants looking to keep their ascendancy. It was pretty much a classic game. John Kurtz, Spiro Galagos got the Giants off to a good start. Galagos on the power play, John Kurtz scoring after only 14 seconds. Eric Linhagen pulled one back for the Panthers after 18 minutes and 15 seconds, but about 30 seconds, less than a minute later, Sebastian Silvestre again popped up and made it 3-1. Flip it around, it was more or less the Nottingham Panthers in the second period. Stevie Lee, their captain, Mark Delago, and Jeff Brown all scoring, with Blair Riley getting the only goal for the Belfast Giants in that second period, and it was all square. 4-4 going into the third period, and a real battle of a third period, but I don't need to tell you how that third period ended.
We're into the last minute of play here, folks, at the SSA Arena. 4-4. Been a great game of hockey again this evening. Spiro Galagos bats out of the air and sends it up the left wing, but Sebastian Silvestre just trying to get a hold of a Colin Shield, don't know where he appeared from, and sends it into Brendan Connolly. Connolly round behind the net of Michael Garnett, takes a shove in the back, still got control of the puck, still got control of the puck, sends it in front, Chatsman, yeah! 5-4! Still ahead, Belfast Giants. All the hard work done for Brendan Connolly. And they take that goal with 22 seconds to go.
Just a great play by Collins, carrying the puck. I think he did almost the full circle of the offensive zone before he came in. And he, I don't know, obviously Nottingham couldn't figure out who he was going to pass to. Thought he was going to drop it a couple times and, you know, threw it on net. And Sylvester was met the man on the right spot there to put that in. That's the guy you want to have with an old. With that
I've lost my
there.
Pen. I've lost my pen.
Yes, as a very happy Simon Kitchen was only glad to tell you that Sebastian Silvestre, I don't know if his name was thrown out there, was it? Sebastian Silvestre scores the game-winning goal with 22 seconds left on the clock. And about less than, was 6 seconds later, as deemed to be on the clock, John Kurtz, who'll be joining us later in the show with an empty netter. Goalkeepers, well, Michael Garnett stepped in this time for the Nottingham Panthers, 35 shots, 30 saves. Jackson Whistle, 2 wins in 2 nights, 35 shots, 31 saves. The same referees. Let's start with Friday night, Davey. Despite the fact that Nottingham started off well, started off strongly, started off quickly, the Giants were ultimately too strong.
Yes, indeed. And Paddy, take the date, take the time, 16th of January 2018. 9:31. I have it by my laptop. I'm going to give the Nottingham Panthers a bit of credit here, but it's going to be short. It's going to be short, and it's going to be sweet.
Goodness me.
And then I'll move on to our team. I thought the Panthers at times across the weekend, and I know that I've talked to Ciz and he's agreed with me over the last couple of days on WhatsApp and stuff. We've talked about this. Probably as good a team at times as I've seen in the SSE for quite a while. Strong. Offensive, their zone entry very, very good. Mark Garsay talked about, you know, Garsay is a very good on the commentary as well. There, Simon, with you, you know, he's quite excellent. although he's very dry and stuff, he's quite insightful. And the way he talked about their zone entrance, how they were coming down the right wing and, you know, putting around the boards for the weak side winger coming in the left hand side, that's how they were getting a lot of. We weren't coping with that, and then they were getting down low and grinding us and getting the puck back up the points and creating opportunities that way. You know, we were sucking us down low, down behind our own goal line. Everybody was chasing the puck, and then their D-men activate and they're getting opportunities from that. They worked us hard, and I would say probably for a bit more than the first period, maybe be fair to say maybe half an hour, but after that we took over. And I thought the same kind of thing, and it will come on the Saturday night, but the game had a pretty similar pattern. Okay, we got out to a quick start on the Saturday night, but you know, they were in the game for large portions. And I think this has been symptomatic of their season, where they have been in games and for whatever reason, they're soft centre down in front of their own net. And we took advantage of that. We looked at them before they came in the week before away to Cardiff, where Cardiff were just able to go into the house all the time and get opportunities. And we did the same. You know, ultimately that game winning goal that says is, you know, has been replayed 1,000 times now. You know, that's D-man not coming out. That's forwards not coming out and challenging Connolly and stepping off him. Colin Shields, with the lovely flick through his legs, the football kick across the net, isn't being, you know, taken out of the kit. And Sebastian Silvestre's allowed to skate right into the slot and slam it home with no, you know, nobody on him at all. And they have 5 men tight in their own zone. So from that point of view, the Panthers need to do more defensively. They're a very, very good team when they can get it set up in the offensive zone. But for me, you know, their fans are going off the hook at Gary Nielsen, Neil Black, Gary Morano. And bar for a bit of puck luck for the Giants and just a wee bit of, maybe a bit of bad luck for them, it's a completely different weekend. The Panthers were by no means terrible over the weekend. As I said, for my opinion, I think one of the better teams that have been to the SSE this season.
Says Friday night, you know, as Davey says, they came out strong, they came out bright, and I think one of the comments I made, quite honest, the fact that they looked like they were pushing the Giants, and it looked like they were the stronger team in those opening exchanges, and that's why at the 5 minute mark of the whole weekend they were 2-1 ahead,
and they absolutely deserve to be as well, Paddy. To be honest, in the first period we were chasing shadows at times, and you know, it was really difficult, and the Panthers, as Davey's already said, you know, in our end, they were excellent. Their movement was great, creating space and for their teammates. And we struggled to get into the game. And Mark Garsay, Mark Garsay said it on Friday night, you know, that it's just a matter of shaking it down, just keeping in the game as long as possible after they took such a strong start. But, you know, you've got to give them credit for that. And And Corey Nielsen said it after the game, you know, he thought they controlled the game for 32 minutes. And on the 32nd minute, Jonathan Ferland scored that third goal for the Giants. After that, my opinion, it was all us. Third period, we absolutely controlled it. They've got two of the best goaltenders that I've seen in the Elite League for a long time. But both of them are just having really bad lately. I mean, Galbraith, he certainly didn't set the world alight on Friday night. And Garnett, I mean, he made a couple of good saves. But at the end of the day, that's exactly what they're doing.
Mistakes as well.
100%. You know, losing the puck behind the net. You know, Connolly got that goal, set it up for Sebastian on Saturday night. Galbraith made a couple of mistakes on Friday night. But he wasn't being helped out by his defense either, which was, you know, a big part of it as well. But overall, again, we were excellent. We really did, you know, push them down low. And on that goal for Sebastian Sylvester on the Friday night, the second goal with Colin and Shields assisted as well. You know, we just played so much better. You know, when those three guys get going, there's not many better lines in this league. I mean, I haven't looked exactly how many points they have, but I'm pretty sure it's over 150 between them. And we're only just over halfway through the season. So, you know, that's absolutely phenomenal. And they haven't been playing on the line the whole time together. They're just basically, you know, they've been put together there in mid-October and obviously with Sebastian being out with a couple of games suspension and coming back into the weekend, getting four goals. It just goes to show that this kid has got it. Like, he really, really does. But thoroughly deserved the win on Friday night. And you just knew that there was going to be a reaction on the Saturday night. And the Panthers, you know, they definitely did come to play on Saturday night as well. So fair play to them. But, you know, overall, for me, we deserve the 4 points.
Divi, just on that Friday night, there are a couple of flash points. But I want to talk just briefly about the goals that were scored by the Belfast Giants, because all of them, I don't think you could, the style of the goals were scored in. You look at Sylvester's first one, the power play goal. Then you look at the, as you've christened him, the King of East Belfast, Spiro Galakos, and his celebration after that as well, with a bit of a spin and a leg up, looking like he's looking to go to the Olympics as a figure skater, the way he celebrated that. But even like the Ferland strike, Sylvester's second one, even the Connolly empty netter where he ducks the shoulder and leaves the man for dead. The Giants put on a real masterclass of style with the goals.
Well, it's funny, this team and the Belfast Giants over a number of seasons have kind of been hexed in as far as getting goals. You know, there was actually a time during early part of this season where we were shut out back to back, and people were saying, oh, what the heck's going on? This team has got goals in abundance, and that is down to confidence as well. You know, we're on a good stretch, we're home, and that's a big advantage as well of being at home, and that just the confidence is running through the team, and people trying things now that they necessarily wouldn't necessarily try when things are going against. You know, you get all the cliches about gripping the stick a bit tight. No, the guys are just playing loose out there at the minute. And, you know, he, as you say, taxi for Billingsway, you know, Collins has absolutely sent him for his tee there on the empty net goal. It's a lovely, lovely play. And we're doing all the right things. Like for Spiro's goal, isn't there, like Furley or somebody's gone in front of the net you know, set a good screen. We're getting big bodies in front of that. We're just doing all the hockey 101 stuff, right? You know, we're getting the pucks high to the point. We're getting people in front of the goaltenders. We're shooting. You know, I think I was looking at stats earlier on there. This team is the highest scoring team in Belfast Giants history per game. You know, goals per game.
What was I going to say, goals per game or points per game? Goals per game?
Goals per game. I think it's 4.2 goals per game average that the Adams Keefe team has now.
Wow.
Obviously, when you
score, right,
when you, that's right. You run a wee bit loosey-goosey at the back end because we also have one of the higher goals against average. But that is also also a symptom of playing that way and a symptom of the league getting better and goal scorers getting better and stuff. But, you know, just to go back on Cez's, Cons, Shades and Sylvester, 167 points between them in 119 games. Jeez. You know, so I think it's like 40 games, 39, 38, because Sylvester and Conley have missed a couple. Colin Shields is one of the Iron Men of the team. Him, Martinelli, there's a couple have played every game this season. But, you know, pretty goals and entertaining for the fans. But, you know, it's all symptomatic of a team that's winning, because the Panthers are probably looking at those goals going, could have stopped that and could have done that better. But it's all 5-on-5. You know, the Friday night, we've scored the first goal in the power play, which was key to getting us back in that game quickly. When they'd came out and scored after a minute, we needed to kick back quickly. And Silvestre, I think it's Rudy and Ferland coming off a 5-point night. Donner coming off a 5-point night. Not Donner. Cole Jarrett. Sorry.
Jarrett.
Coming off a 5-point night, you know, set up Sylvester. And then we go even strength goals, bang, 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 and even the anti netter, you know, and that was the story game. We've talked about it week on week for since maybe early in the season, but certainly October time. Simon, maybe, and probably yourself, you know, 5-on-5, we're as good as anything out there. We talked to Danny Stewart later in the show. You know, he is adamant that they are a good 5-on-5 team. So come this weekend, last Friday night, that's all forgotten now, and it's all focused on Friday.
A couple of flash points as well. It says in the first period we had John Curtsy and Matthew Gagnon. Fair play to Curtsy, he put out his best, but I think we saw there was only one real winner in that fight. Coming into the third period, Darcy Murphy, and Alexander Moksantsev has a bit of a meltdown. He gets a 2 minutes for interference, he gets a 5 minutes for fighting, he gets a 2+10 misconduct, which for instigating, which I think was pretty harsh. The man who think you should be countless lucky stars is Brown, Jeff Brown, from that, because he looked like a third man in.
Yeah, he was 100%, and the referees, you know, I think it's probably only one of a few things that they missed a whole weekend. But you know, Moksantsev even kept his gloves on the big girl. Like, I mean, if you're going to drop your gloves, and he's obviously talking with wee Murph about dropping the gloves, and Murph's no problem at all. Moksantsev starts trying to slap him as if he's trying to put a bit of butter on the bit of bread like a big girl. But you know, you've at the end of the day, if you're going to chop him, you've got to chop him and stop being a, you know, as I say, a big girl. So I just thought that the big thing that none of us have talked about just yet is our discipline. This past weekend was absolutely outstanding. You know, you took the Gagnon fight with John Kurtz. Kurtz got a couple of real uppercuts in early. Gagnon caught him with a couple of big lefts, and then Curtsy sort of couldn't throw any more with his right hand. He took a bit of a knock, but you know, Gagnon, you've got to give him credit. He's a big, strong boy. But then if you move to the Saturday night, you know, he did that to Rudy, for Rudy trying the Michigan move, and in fairness to him, you've got to have the balls to try things like that. But and it's all good and well for showing a bit of fantastic skill and trying to entertain the fans. But as a defenseman, you don't like that. I'd have probably done the same thing as Gagnon.
I was thinking that, mate. I was thinking that during the commentary, thinking that during the game. As much as, and I know you were saying that, I think it was Dustin John you were with on Saturday, wasn't it? I know you were saying, you know, you want to see that as a fan, you want to see. But likewise, had anybody in the Nottingham Panthers side tried to do that with us, we don't want them to be taken, gone through for a shortcut.
Awesome. We talked. Rudy scored a goal like that, didn't he? Against Clarence or something in a pre-season game last season.
Yep.
And I think we said on the podcast, you know, brilliant. And as a fan, and if he had put that off against the Panthers, brilliant. You know, you're getting the tissues out and all, but like, it's, you can't do that. If that had been scored against us, I would have wanted every D-man on our team to be beating him down every time he's on the ice. So, you know, but, you know, on fair play to Rudy, he keeps his discipline and that's Gagnon.
He does.
Take the penalty. So, you know.
That's why I said at the time he deserved an assist on it. You know,
What does Gagnon offer in the Nottingham Panthers in this respect?
Toughness. You
know, Is that it?
That's it.
Is that a worthwhile? Can we have that sort of individual role player? Because when it comes to the actual production on the ice, and I watched him for quite a bit, and you look at the way he lost the plot the other week against Sheffield, where he went after Cole Shooter. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
He offers the toughness, but in the modern day elite league, can you be so one dimensional?
Well, they must be selling jerseys in Nottingham or something, because that's all he offers.
Well, look, is that not the same as Fitzgerald? 3 points, 3 assists.
I think Fitz is a better player.
But contribution, is he contributing enough?
Well, you'd have to ask Gary Moran that. He's your mate.
I was talking about Fitzgerald.
You know, Fitzgerald. Well, I mean, we're not talking about Sheffield in a minute. We're talking about Gagnon. Gagnon, for me, as I say, you know, he did what any good defenseman would have done and tried to take a pop at David Rutherford. Rudy was excellent. I wouldn't be surprised if Rudy's basically, he's taken a couple of punches in the head and he's still chirping away on the lines of, is that the best you can do? Oh, sorry, my French. But, he's literally still chirping away at him. He took a cross check in the chest. He took four or five punches to the head. He's got a face wash with a glove. And the only thing that he got was a 2-minute call. For him, that's worth 2 minutes. But if you watch him get off the ice, and I don't know if it was caught on camera, he tried to get at Blair Riley as well.
He did, yeah.
And Riley's just laughing at him going, there's the penalty box for Blair, mate.
I think Riley had his head, hands to his head, like, you've lost your head, mate, you've lost your head, or something like that. There was a definite signal between the two of them. And to be fair, Gagnon had lost his head at that point. He was trying to go after and doing a bit more than he needed to. I was surprised it was only a 2-minute roughing call in the end.
Well, I was speaking to one of the guys after the game, and he was telling me exactly what Blair Riley was saying to him. It's very, very funny. I probably would have lost a head as well. But at the end of the day, because he didn't go directly to the penalty box and he tried to get at another player on the way there, he deserved another misconduct penalty. Didn't get it. Only got 2 minutes. That's a good call for him. But on that, we scored a power play goal, which was massive. Absolutely massive. So, Rudy, again, in that instance, deserves a pat on the back. Well done, mate. Do it again. Get in their face and carry on. But Saturday night for me was, again, the Panthers really did put pressure on us. Really, really put pressure
second
on us.
And period, we struggled at times.
We really did struggle at times, Paddy. But again, it comes down to character. It comes down to the guys, just wanting to get out there and do their best for their team. 4-4 going into the last period. It was a brilliant game of hockey. Both games at the weekend were absolutely brilliant. It was probably two of the better games that I can remember calling for the Giants TV. I thought it was excellent. And then obviously with Sylvester getting the game where 22 seconds to go was just, it was the loudest, apart from my call, it was the loudest that I've heard at the arena for quite some time. Everybody was on their feet apart from all the Panthers fans down in the corner, and we thoroughly deserved the 4 points. But again, discipline, absolutely fantastic at the weekend. Spiro, I think, only got 2 minutes penalty all weekend. You had Brendan Connolly standing out of the penalty box as well. You've got guys there who two, three months earlier, we probably would have ended up with 22, 24 minutes of penalties between them. Mm-hmm. So, it's the discipline we've had now in the last couple of weeks, hopefully long may it continue, because if we want to give ourselves a chance of catching the Cardiff Devils, then we are going to have to stay out of the box.
The phrase, the key phrase for me, and what you said there as well, says his character, Davey. This Jan showed the 60-minute game, the character of a 60-minute game, the drive in a 60-minute game, and what really stuck with me, and I when I was watching it, especially in those last, say, even the last 2 minutes of that game, I hearken back to the overtime loss that we had to the Nottingham Panthers earlier on in the season. In the last 2 minutes of that, 2 minutes of regulation of that game, the Nottingham Panthers quite clearly were playing a sort of a play to the corner. Let's get ourselves the overtime. They got themselves the overtime and they ended up taking the 2 points. In the last 2 minutes of this game, I felt they were doing exactly the same thing. It felt as if Corey Nielsen had said, right, let's shut this down. Let's get at least a point from this weekend. Let's get at least a point from this weekend, possibly two, if we can nick it in the lottery of 3-on-3 overtime. Unfortunately for them, the Giants kept with that drive, and you see them all tight around the box as Connolly goes around him. The only guy that tracks Connolly in that whole thing is Stevie Lee, who tracks him all the way around to the side before Connolly puts it off Colin Shields, who redirects it into Sylvester and into the back of the net. But that's character. That's Giants going after the win when the Nottingham Panthers weren't.
I would say even before we decided to go for the win, we had to kill that delay game penalty with whatever it was, 3 and a bit minutes left. Steve Saviano was unbelievable in that stretch of play. Sav just goes killing on the forecheck, unbelievably. And it's one of those ones you're like, Sav, you can't forecheck every man here. And he just did it, and he kept the puck down in there. And yeah, we've gone for 19s, and Sheds has taken up a really, really good position on the right hand side by the Panthers bench, even so much so that when on the commentary it goes to him and says, like, where'd he come from?
Yeah.
You know, he had gone out there, he had recognised that's where the space was on the ice, and he goes out there and sheds again. At that stage, you know, what was there, 30 seconds to go in the game, something like that? Mm-hmm. He can just dump that down into the corner, and, you know, that's what we've seen. Out. We've got a point, we've got 3 points out of four, we'll take a gamble on three, or possible penalty shots, we can potentially go and win. But no, he waits and he just feathers it. We've got a sauce in the Connie there, who goes on the mark duty, you know, two times around the net and will come up with a goal. But that's, as you say, Panthers at that stage should have been trying to, if that's what you're going to do, if you're trying to see the game out against a highly skilled defensive team like the Belfast Giants, go hard at them and get the puck 200 feet from your own net.
No.
You know, there's always a risk when you're playing against a team that have three guys that have scored 170 points between them just after Christmas, that they're going to come up with something special, and we did. And that was, I think you're absolutely right, your question's absolutely correct. And the Panthers sat off and they said, we're going to get a point here. With 20 seconds to see out, we've got a point and we'll try and get the second.
I think there was another key point in the game, lads, where, you know, we're sitting at 4-4. We're sitting at 4-4 going into the last period. They get a penalty shot.
That was my next point.
Jackson Russell comes up with a massive, massive save. And the whole arena, honestly thought, at that stage, I thought the roof was going to come off. You know, that was absolutely massive. Pulling off that save from Bussieres.
Then
you just seen the whole bench. I was looking over at our bench at that time, and everybody's fist pumping each other and you know, high-fiving each other, well done. And as soon as all five guys came on the ice again after that, straight over to Jackson. You know, well done, me man. Brilliant job. Thanks very much indeed. You got us out of a bit of a sticky wicket there. But we really pushed on from there. And again, I thought we were the better team in the third period. But I think you're right, Davey. I think they were going to settle for at least a point, trying to get at the OT. But unfortunately for them, we Sly come up with his fourth goal of the weekend, and the place went nuts. It was great.
Do you know what got me after as well? After the Sylvester goal, obviously at that point we've got 22 seconds left in the game, and it's a 5-4 game. We go to the face off at the center. We face off at center ice. They pull their goalkeeper. They call a timeout. They pull the goalkeeper as you'd expect them to do. One goal game, 22 seconds. They need to win the face off. They do win the face off, don't they? And somehow they just shut down. The two defensemen shut down. They've sort of given up already, and we score. Credit to Kurtz for getting through and scoring it. But am I imagining this? Is managing this? It looked as if the Nottingham Panthers just did nothing.
If you watch the guys, there was only one guy to move, and it was the right defenseman. He was way out of position. He was literally pushing. He was cheating. He was ready to go forward. Very flat-footed. And obviously, you know, didn't get a chance to go forward itself because, you know, the puck came back into them. I actually think Blair Riley let them win it. You know, if you look at our forward line, there was Fernand, Riley, and John Kurtz. And then on the back end, there was Martinelli and Jim Van Der Meer. You know, five big bodies. If they're going to get that puck on our end, they're going to have to do some massive, massive job to get them into the net, because we would have just collapsed around the front line net. But, you know, Kurtz needs a big pat in the back. I thought he was excellent the weekend. You know, that first goal with 14 seconds on, end of the game, and then 7 seconds to go, he did not stop. He just kept on playing through, and it was great to see him being rewarded with it.
Of course, I'm just going to throw in the Statman jingle now, Davey, because we're going to talk about that goal from John Kurtz.
I'm a Statman. I'm the stat man.
Davey, over to you.
Yes, John Kurtz with the empty netter against the Nottingham Panthers. In fact, Kurtz should have had an assist on that goal himself, because his play to flip it over the D-man who's advancing on him just to create the space is fantastic as well. But Kurtz's goal was the 4,000th all-time for the Belfast Giants, including the old days, as we call them, you know, the ISL and right through to Saturday night there. So I think it's 1,088 games deep and 4,000th goal. So it's one for John Kurtz. It's not it'll not be a big milestone for him, but it's something that'll always be on his CV that, you know, he popped up and got the 4,000th.
Just to round off the chat, obviously you can get the highlights of these both these games from Belfast Giants TV, the excellent commentary and the excellent coverage with the goal cams and all that. It was brilliant over the weekend. On the Nottingham Panthers, are we guilty of maybe taking too much out of these two games? The Panthers says they're sitting in seventh place. They've had a really tough time of late. They don't seem to be firing on all cylinders. They're not going to be challenging for a title. We've come away with 4 points, but there seems to be are we guilty maybe of celebrating too much these 4 points because of where the Nottingham Panthers are?
No, I don't think so. You know, if they had have won those 4 points, they're ahead of us.
Yeah.
So that was two big games at the weekend. You know, we really, I mean, I love Adam's philosophy. He's literally, I might have to speak to him today and we'll hear the interview later. And we're coming up with a big weekend ahead of game because we have 3 games in 3 days. But he just says, focus is just on Friday. That's it. They do not look ahead. They do not, you know, okay, we've got Cardiff in 2 weeks' time. We've got two trips to Nottingham in the space of 3 or 4 days. They don't care about that. They're just concentrating on one game at a time. Yes, you know, I laughed at his comment there last week. We're not here to take part, we're here to take over.
I love that.
And, you know, it that key obviously came from Conor McGregor, but it's if he's instilling that sort of mentality into the players and letting them know that, you know, guys, look, yes, it's all about, you know, getting out there, doing your best every single shift. Break it down into, you know, 20-minute segments instead of even the game itself. Concentrate in the first period. Once it's done, you can do nothing about it. Get on to the second one. Once that's done, we'll move on to the third. And that's the way that he's trying to build this unit and this team together because it's working. It's absolutely working. They all seem to be buying into it. I mean, you look at Jonathan Ferland. You know, Davey will tell you how many hits he's thrown this season. But every one of them, he makes sure he's finishing his checks. You've just got to get out there. You do not want to be on the wrong side of Jonathan Ferland's check. He's a big body. Like, Matt Toe has been outstanding on the penalty kill. He's one of the best penalty killers in the league, and he doesn't get the praise that he deserves. We are absolutely stacked with great, really good players, and in certain circumstances, great players, because I think Brendan Connolly is as good as a player that has put on a Giants jersey in the last 6 or 7 years. I think he's absolutely outstanding, and he's got that wee rap about him, and he's got that grit, and he's, you know, he's not afraid to get stuck in there to a guy maybe 6-7 inches taller than him. He will get stuck in because he wants to win. And that's what, if it's breaking about mentality about winning, then that is absolutely massive because, yes, we're going to lose games between now and the end of the season. Yes, it's going to be disappointing because, there's, you know, these 3 games at the weekend are huge. Coventry, Guildford. You're sitting thinking, great, Coventry are sitting in 8th or 9th place, whatever it is. But they're fighting for their lives regarding the playoff space. That's what. They want to be a chance to get into the playoffs. And I'm sure Brayhead do as well, who are there fighting with them. So, where we are right now, absolutely, you did the right thing in trying to get those 4 points and making how big and important about it is. Because you can't control the future, but you can control what's happening now in the same day. And if you put the effort into it and you put the desire into it that we've shown, you get rewarded.
Davey, you spoke of it earlier on in the show and the reaction that's come from the Nottingham camp to the weekend and their form of late and a lot of fingers being pointed at the organisation, a lot of fingers being pointed at Corey Neilson. Has Corey Neilson, for all intents and purposes, become the Arsene Wenger of the Elite League?
Maybe because, you know, the Panthers haven't exactly been, you know, bereft of success over the last number of years. You know, the one, the trophy in Europe last year, you know, when they've won playoffs, they've won Challenge Cups, okay, they've only touched the league once, but that's just something that has gone on for a long time in Nottingham. I mean, I think there's an element in Belfast as well that, you know, we were spoiled for success and we've been 3 years dry or whatever, and a lot of people that once upon a time, you know, people turn on a club very quickly, and we know ourselves of the number of people that turned on Belfast over the last number of years when things haven't been great. And you know, and it's easy to support a successful team. Are at the minute, Belfast are entertaining. They're up near the top of the standings, and you know, we are in with a shout of silverware. The Panthers are still in the Challenge Cup. They're not completely dead in the league yet, but their form would suggest that they're not going to be up there challenging. And Corey Neilson, people are very, very quick to laud him, and they're very, very quick to turn on him, because if Corey turned this round and turned this into a Challenge Cup and playoff winning season, it would be hard to say that it hadn't been successful, you know, irrespective of where they finish in the league. So, you know, as a fan, you want to be challenging every single night and you want to be up there for the league championship. But, you know, much as it pains me to say it about Corey Neilson, they've been very, very fortunate in Nottingham over the last number of years in the success that he's brought, whether he's done it in the style that they wanted. But, you know, that team that won the league were a hell of a team to watch, especially on the special teams, especially on the power play. They were great. And he's brought them players like David Ling over the years. And, you know, we always laugh about the Facebook Galacticos. You know, he always brings. And that team has got quality in it. Why it's not playing for, you know, are they not playing for the coach for 60 minutes? Are they looking like a team that's checking out of games? I just don't know what's going on. But I see things and I read with a little bit of smug amusement about people are walking away from the game and they don't care about the club anymore because they're getting too focused in the semantics of what's going on off the ice. People want to be involved, and there's no better club than the Belfast Giants for letting people who pay in be involved. Ourselves with the podcast, the OSC is a feather in their cap, just fan engagement in general from the club, be it via their Twitter, via their Instagram, all these different channels that the club open up to that the Nottingham Panthers don't seem to embrace. A lot of people you see on Twitter and stuff say, you know, Panthers is just a money grab and the hockey secondary. But, you know, the GM spoke a number of seasons ago, did that interview, and he was very, very clear in his point of view that the most important figure to him was the one on the scoreboard. And maybe the club just need to reiterate that in the media instead of seeing that players podcast as came out and apologised because somebody said something about the fans. I'm not 100% sure, so I'm not going to go into that. I'm not 100% sure what was said either direction, but, you know, all is not well there. Fan base, you know, the peasants are revolting, it's great.
Well, yes, let's wrap this up there, lads. So, as I say, you can get the highlights from Giants TV. Let's move it along. We've got the interviews coming up. We're going to hear in a moment from Adam Keefe, but first of all, Sis was able to go down to training and catch up with Kevin Rain.
We're joined by Kevin Rain after practice on Tuesday morning. Kevin, that looked like a bit of a fun practice, and I'm sure all the boys looked as if they enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, you know, when you're winning, things are going well. Mood around the rink is really high, and you know, we get rewarded with practice day like that, and it you know, it's great coming to the rink when you know you're in for a fun day.
It's been a great run of form. Coming back after the 10 game road trip, starting to, they've only cut a couple of losses over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks. Confidence is obviously high, and those 2 wins at the weekend against the Panthers added to that.
Right, confidence is really high. We're rolling. We're playing really well. We're practicing hard, and you know, we're just doing the little things, and we're getting wins. So we're just going to continue doing what we're doing, and I think it's going to continue to pay off the way it has.
You seem to have set up some good chemistry with Cole Jarrett in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 5-point night the other night, yeah. And you know, I just get him the puck, and he'll put it in the net. It seems to be the way it goes. But I always find my way to get a third assist, which don't exist. But you know, we communicate well, and he's obviously got a lot more experience than I do, and so I have a lot to learn from him, and I think we feed off each other well.
Going into this weekend against Coventry, 2 games at home at the SSA Arena, and then the third game in 3 days against Guildford. It's going to be a tough weekend.
3-3s are tough, you know. Obviously, it's a lot of hockey, and so you got to conserve energy, and you got to prepare well, and you got to make sure you're warm going into games. And you know, it's 3 days, and you can't take any time off.
You're been Belfast now nearly 5 months. How are you finding the city?
It's awesome. It's great. I think we've got it pretty well mapped out now. It's treated us well, and so it's a lot of fun. Love it.
Adam, another positive weekend, 4 points against the Nottingham Panthers, but it wasn't all plain sailing.
No, it's a very good Nottingham Panthers side, and obviously you've seen the success they had in the Champions League against the best teams in Europe, and you know, you don't have success in that tournament unless you're a very good team. And they certainly are that, and they gave us a lot of trouble over the course of the weekend, and specifically on Saturday. I thought that they outplayed us for maybe over half of that game, and it was huge that our guys came out in the third period and buckled down, and ended up getting the win. And then, you know, there's going to be times throughout this stretch here where we aren't feeling it, or we're not the better team on the night. But we got, that's not an excuse. You got to find ways to win those games, whether or not, you know, that's maybe you have to buckle down defensively and wait for your opportunities and take them when you get them. You know, that's what we need to do. And the guys did it on this weekend, and that was a massive 4-point weekend, especially in regulation.
Today I was watching the practice there, and it seemed as if you guys were having a bit of fun out there on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I think it's something that we need to make sure that guys are still having fun and still enjoying coming to the rink. And like I said before, this is a marathon, not a sprint, this league, and it can get stressful, and it can drag on players, and that's when you see teams start to fall apart and melt down, and we don't want to do that here. You know, we want to keep on pushing and keep the spirits high and a positive feeling in the locker room, and you know, three practices in a week, you know, we still got a lot of quality work out there. I think guys got a lot done and had some fun at the same time, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, a happy dressing room is a good dressing room.
And obviously the other side of things, it seemed to be very competitive at times as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you play those games, you see the competitive side come out of players. You know, it doesn't matter if you're playing for 2 points or if you're playing for bagels. It's a competitive atmosphere out there, that's for sure. And, you know, I'm sure some guys left the arena not happy and some left the arena very happy. But it's all in good fun, and guys will get over it if they lost today. And maybe have to buy some bagels or some...
Moving on to this weekend, it's probably one of the tougher ones regarding, you know, game-wise and time management. 3 games in 3 days. First up, the Coventry Blaze come into Belfast for the first time this season. You face them away. Mixed results against the Coventry Blaze. What are you expecting from Danny Stewart's team this weekend?
I expect to see a desperate hockey team that is battling for that last playoff spot, and I think they're deadlocked right now with Brayhead, so... I mean, that's, you know, everyone always talks about the, you know, the title race, but you know, there's also a race to be in the playoffs and for a chance to win the playoff trophy, and you know, that's arguably just as important to a lot of teams. You know, that you want to make the playoffs, and you know, there's obviously a dogfight between a few teams for that last playoff spot, and so, you know, what you see when you have a team with their back up against the wall, you know, I expect Danny Stewart's team to come in and be full of energy and hungry and want to win this game. And we've seen success. They've had success against us this year. So we're going to have to be at our best again. You know, we've talked about it many times. There's no easy games and there's no easy weekends. It's from here on out, it's playoff hockey, and we have to be at our best, and we have to be mentally focused and prepared for the best Coventry team that we've seen yet. And we're going to have to be equal to our effort last weekend or better. And that's what we're going to have to keep building on our momentum.
And then your first away trip of the month on the road to Guildford. And again, a game, a performance where the last time you went to Guildford, you get off to a really bad start. But you seem to get stronger as the game went on and manage to get a couple of goals back.
Yeah, obviously, I don't want to look past Coventry at home here, but, you know, obviously the third and 3 nights, it's going to be no easy task to go into Guildford and take 2 points out of there. So we have to find a way. You know, last time we went into Guildford, they were the better team, the more disciplined team, and it cost us. And we need to go in there and right that wrong, and first and foremost, stay disciplined and stay the course, and give ourselves a chance to win that game. It's not going to be an easy one, but you know, we got to find a way. Good teams find a way. You see that with the Cardiff Devils right now. And there's been plenty of games throughout their 15-stretch win streak or whatever it was that they went on. There's plenty of games they were down by a couple goals or whatever, and they find a way to come back and win that game. I'm sure they went through some stretches in those games where they weren't great, but they found a way to win, and we're going to have to do that if we want to be there at the end of the season with them and with the Fife Flyers and whoever, countless other teams that are going to be in that elite league title race. You know, Sheffield, Guildford, and Manchester, and Nottingham, they're all still very much in this race. And ones through seven are you know, with 22, 23, 24 games left for everybody, there's still a lot of gaps can be made up quickly. So you have to be on top of your game, and we're no different. We need to be building momentum here and putting ourselves on a serious run here if we want to be there at the end of the year.
Thanks to Kevin Ryan and, of course, to Adam Keith. Let's look around the league. Let's start with the announcement of the Challenge Cup semi-final against the Nottingham Panthers. The first leg will be in Nottingham on Wednesday the 31st of January, and the second leg in Belfast on Wednesday the 7th of February. This actually puts the Giants on, I think it's something like 5 games in 8 days. Obviously this is something we'll come to maybe next week, says, but you know, off the back of that weekend against the Nottingham Panthers, how confident are you going into these Challenge Cup semi-final games?
They've got a great record in the Challenge Cup, Paddy. And I think they probably realise that they're, I know Davey touched on it there a few minutes ago, that, you know, they're not out of their running for the league, but I think they are. I hope they are. You know, we certainly need the Nottingham Panthers to start winning games. You know, they've got a big game this weekend against, Cardiff Devils on Saturday. And you'd certainly want to try and get a positive result for Nottingham. You know, it's going to be tough. They do have a good team. They're obviously, you know, they've got to put a 60-minute game together, as do, you know, if you look at what we've done throughout the season as well, if I guess we'll probably only play at a 2, 3, or maybe 4 60-minute games. You know, you can't continually play well for 60 minutes every single night, but it's about the consistency for them. And over the last 6, 8 weeks for the Nottingham Panthers, it's been a very, very difficult place. And I do hope it continues. You know, I do hope they pick up a couple of good results against teams that are around us. But against us, I hope they go down and suffer.
Davey, what always lingers, games like this bear no reference to the past. You can't take out games in the past and put them in the present as if they're actual reality now. But you always think back to the experiences, and the experience that I'm thinking of right now is the year that we won the league under Paul Leddy, and we went into the semi-final of the Challenge Cup against the Nottingham Panthers, and that didn't go very well.
Should have won. We've a couple of times we've let the Panthers off the hook in the Challenge Cup over a number of years. I remember they scored a goal in Belfast with seconds to go off a face-off. We should have shut them down and they scored a goal, but you know, see, this season, 5 games against them, 43 goals. So I'd be surprised if it's not another game with a lot of goals. You know, we're averaging over 8 goals per game versus the Nottingham Panthers, and luckily we've come out on the right side of most of them this season. I think we lost 5-4 in overtime earlier in the season at home to them, which was a bit of a blip when we were going through a period of bit iffy at the back. That was just off the back of those two games that I talked about earlier, where we didn't score. And yeah, you know, that final that we lost, it went to penalty shots, did it? Or did the Bears
overtime? No, it went. I think it did go into penalty shots.
Yeah, you know, it was a game. I think we had a 5-goal lead or something in, and
we should have won.
I think that team had roughshod. You know, I think that team of Paul Leddy's was over 800 for the season. He had 20 or something for the season, so they were a fantastic team. And it was that, you know, another ex-coach, Doug Christensen, called it that collective exhale. Do you remember he talked about that in his time? When you win a championship, sometimes you can just take your foot off the gas and it's hard to get going again. And on that night, you were there, Sis, weren't you? In Nottingham?
Yep. All three of us.
You know, we just give them momentum. And you've got the, you know, tip your cap. Sometimes they took that momentum. They got a goal and another, and they just got back into it. And, you know, there's mitigation in that. Stephen Murphy was dying that night. You know, he was really, really ill. And, you know, a fit Stephen Murphy. A Stephen Murphy that isn't ill, and we've won that game, and we've another cup in the bag. But, you know, those things are sent to try you. And unfortunately for us on that occasion, we couldn't get over the line and get the trophy. But I think we're a team. You talked about character earlier. You know, we're going there first. So a bit like the Fife game earlier in the season, we'll want to be going to the NIC and be bringing something back to the SSE. We've had them here twice. We know what they've got. You know, Adam Keefe changed a lot from Friday night to Saturday night and how we approached the game. Certainly how we approached the first 5 minutes of the game, how we approached the first couple of shifts, and the guys came out with a lot of energy on Saturday night and really took the game to the Panthers, and credit to them. You know, they hung in there, but I think the last last two games in the third period, we keep those games 5-on-5, we have nothing to fear.
There's been no Dops news as of yet. Seems to be running late this week, though there is word that possibly Bentivoglio at Cardiff may be in a bit of trouble for a hit that he put out, says.
Yeah, I was speaking to one of the Giants today, and they were telling me that I still haven't seen it. I tried to look for it, but I couldn't see it anywhere. You know, from what he was saying, it's a really bad hit on Liam Stewart, and Liam Stewart was concussed, did not return to the game, and it looks like he's going to be out for a while as well. So, you know, Bentivoglio has been pretty good for the Cardiff Devils of late, and we'll just have to wait and see if Dops come up with a ruling, well, today, tomorrow, whatever.
The Sheffield Steelers were in European competition in the final of the Continental Cup. They finished third, a loss to Astana and Minsk in the first two games before a 2-0 win over Written Sport put them in third position, Davey, and they celebrated like they won it.
Nah. You know, it's one of those, Paddy. I genuinely, I seen you and Says and Hitchy having a bit, you know, Yampton was putting his tweet on about how the party, you know, was fine. I had to ask us how did they get on. I'd heard over the weekend that they'd lost their first game, and then I think on the Sunday I heard they were behind, but I didn't know that, on the Saturday maybe, I didn't even know that they'd played the third game or that they were playing the third game. So, yes, it's whatever.
Before I move on, I'm going to stop the presses. Simon, your commentary from the weekend has appeared on ESPN.
So I've heard. Neil Whiteside sent me a message earlier on saying it was on the North American channel. So I'll be getting on to Dave Lowry from Belfast Giants TV in the morning to see if I can get any royalties. It'd be great.
I think
I'll share them with my agents, David McGimsey and Paddy Smith, so we'll glow in the eventy royalties coming our way, and we'll maybe start paying for some of the Skype calls that we'll have to make throughout the season.
Davey, I think it's only right that such a fine piece of commentary goes global.
It's it's one of those things, Paddy, and you've got to admire Says of Passion. We did a game last season, I think it was Manchester Storm, where Foster's,
yes, Alex Foster,
and we did almost exactly the same. You can't help it. And there's definitely, you know, you can hear Dustin Johnner in the background on several of the goals, giving a as well. And it's just, make no apologies for being a homer, you know, when you're commentating. That passion about beating the Nottingham Panthers with 20 seconds to go when they've brought it back to 4-8 and it's been a hell of a weekend and we're challenging, and you go and you score, you know, one of those goals. Brilliant. And the commentary where Says gives it the yes, you know, that's going to be on T-shirts. That's going to be on banners. Where do you see? That's it. You've seen the banner already from, you know, the Boomerang Corner guys for it. You know, it's passion. That's what we like to hear.
100%. I thought it was brilliant. Like, I don't know how I didn't wake up my little daughter and went mental myself, but every time I look at that video, and that video on A View from the Bridge has received so many. Like, I think I'll say thank you actually at this point to everybody who's interacted with us over the weekend. I said it on Twitter, but we've had so many people sending tweets, retweeting, liking. The video itself has been played must be 6,000-7,000 times through our own Twitter account. The response, obviously, you know, it was a good weekend. Obviously, a good weekend for the Giants. It was a good weekend for us. But the response, Davey, over the course of the weekend, because obviously Sizz is doing all this there, and the work that he puts in, doing the commentary and the work he puts in doing the post-game interviews, is fantastic for us to be able to put them out there. But the response we've got, Davey, has been phenomenal.
Okay. Sizz does the commentary, goes and gets us those interviews, either send them to you and me, or we'll get them uploaded, and then you have to set your phone to mute. I had my phone fully charged before I went to bed on Saturday night or Friday night, whichever night, and I never plugged it in. And I woke up the next morning, it's like 3% and 6 million. You know, my phone's just been going bleep, 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 bleep all night long. And it's just, but, you know, thanks to Sizz, even taking time out of his day to go down there to do interviews with the guys just to give the, you know, a little bit more insight into what's going on down there. We appreciate it.
But says no end team, boys, no end team.
Well, it says you must die. With regards to the response you've got from it, it's been brilliant.
It is unbelievable. I mean, somebody set up the Kitchy's pen Twitter page, and some of the tweets that come out later today are quite funny. But it's class, you know. It's, again, Davey's right. It's 22 seconds to go. We all hate the Panthers, and scoring, you know, scoring that goal right down in front of as well. And then you even seen the pleasure on Sebastian's face, and Brendan Connolly, and all the guys getting the gala sheds, you know, skating, you know, as if he'd scored a goal on his own as well. That it means something. And, you know, it's always good that, you know, it's a team that I follow. I've followed since day one. And, you know, it's one of those ones where, you know, that it could be a massive moment in our season. You know, going in there 4-4, if they had went in our couple of minutes and went the overtime, you know, it could have went the other way. Nottingham Panthers could have scored before with those, you know, 22 seconds to go at the other end, you know. So it's definitely one that'll stay in the memory bank, you know, just the same as the Alex Foster goal last December against the Manchester Storm. But you know what, I enjoyed it and just felt that it was the right thing to do. I mean, Dave behind me, you know, as soon as I did it, he's basically sitting behind me at the minute and you know, typing up bits and pieces for Adam during the game. And I must have scared the crap out of him, because he jumped up and looked around and then obviously tried to turn the volume down on it as well, which you can hear when I started to talk instead of scream. But it's definitely a lot of passion coming out and a lot of relief as well, because, you know, for that 4-point weekend, as I say, that could be absolutely massive in our season.
Paddy, you know, and as you're giving out tips of caps and nods and stuff to people, I think you have to give William Cherry a bit of
100%.
Some of the snaps over the weekend were first class. I think that one where Sebastian celebrated, Collins is just making his way over to him there, and you've got the crowd in the background, and you can see the passion from young kids to, let's call them, older ladies and gentlemen, and what do you call them that used to run the OSC? Is it Trevor you call him? White haired gentleman now. I'll put him out to you on WhatsApp later on, but absolutely phenomenal to see him. One of the guys that's been there since day one, you know, 17 years, whatever, into it now, and up as it was the first goal he's ever seen. You know, the passion in the crowd on Saturday night, it gives me hope. Because it still means something special to beat the Nottingham Panthers, and I hope it always does.
Do you know what got me about that picture in regards to Silvestre? And one thing, just you look at the crowd, everybody's in a shirt. Everybody in that picture going right up that block, everybody's wearing. I think I spotted one NHL shirt, but everybody else is in a Belfast shirt, and I think that's a reflection of the sport in this city now.
And there's a kid just on the left-hand side of us, standing beside the steps, giving it stacks. I thought he was going to burst a blood vessel. What we're going to do is we've asked Brooksy and William if we can use that. So we're going to get a few of those printed out for this weekend, get Sebastian and Collins to sign them, and then they'll be available at the OSC table on Friday and Saturday. Well, definitely Friday night, possibly Saturday.
Well played, sis.
Yep.
I'll take you're not handing them out.
I'll be doing the commentary, but thanks very much. Oh, no. It'll be £2 each.
Right, let's come back briefly to the, and just quickly whiz through a couple of other things from around the league. The Elite League announced the 18-19 European qualification criteria. The winner of the Elite League will be awarded a place in the Champions Hockey League. The winner of the playoffs will be awarded a place in the Continental Cup. If the playoff winner and the Elite League winner are the same, then the County Cup winner will pass to, the County Cup place will pass to the Challenge Cup winner. And if somebody does the treble, then the Continental Cup will go to the Elite League runners up. On some of the incidents from around, well, I was going to pick out some of the incidents from around the league this weekend, but we're running out of time, so we're just going to pick one. The Edinburgh Capitals got themselves a win, a victory over the Manchester Storm on Sunday night. It's a welcome respite for the Edinburgh Capitals, but the Storm, that's a shocker of a loss for them, and their away record isn't great.
I know, I had a bit of a laugh over that. The you know, the Edinburgh Capitals, again, we found it tough against them during stages. If a game of hockey was played over 40 minutes, they'd be in a lot more games. But they just seemed to run out of steam and coming into the third period. But, you know, their new goalie's come in. He's won Player of the Week this week on that EHL magazine. whatever, who votes for it. You know, coming in and getting the job done, getting the first win in front of a packed Murrayfield Ice rink, it's great. And you know, Manchester again, I don't know what's happening with them. I really don't. They've went backwards. You know, you'd expect them with the signings they made this summer, obviously bringing a new coach in, and you would have thought that they were going to push on, but they've been average, if not below average. And it's one of those things where they're going to have to turn it around, because if they don't, they're going to be in a lot of trouble and they'll not make a playoffs, which I'm sure, you know, when they put that team together in the summer, they're sitting thinking, we've got a good chance to win these playoffs. So it is what it is, but, you know, I've no love for the Manchester Storm.
Davey, the head coach of the Manchester Storm, Ryan Finnerty, unhappy with the lack of goal line technology at Murrayfield. Is he justified in saying? I'm referring to his interview with the official, not the unofficial fan footage that has also appeared on Twitter. But he's obviously unhappy. Has he every right to be unhappy?
Yeah, if it's supposed to be in every rink, every arena, then it should be there.
Just simple as that. It's not a case of maybe the Manchester Storm could have been better.
Oh, well, yes. You try to find something. You always try to find something to hang your hat on. I agree with that. And as Simon has said there, you know, they'll have built a team this season and they started well. And people asked on this very podcast, we were asked on several weeks, can the Manchester Storm keep this up? And I think I said no at the time. I didn't think they were good enough to stay there for the rest of the season. But, you know, it's got to be about baby steps. It's got to be about progression, and that club's only 3 years old, if you like. You know, coach has gone in there the first season, set it up overnight, you know, got the job on Friday, their first game was on Saturday kind of thing, bought the whole Stingrays and brought their coach and everything with them, got the team out on the ice, done well, had a good first season, consolidated second season where they qualified for the playoffs, and this season would have definitely been, we want to finish higher than eighth. You know, we want to finish mid-table, we want to potentially get to the final four. I don't think that they're big-headed enough to think that they were going to challenge at the top end of the table just yet. That's got to be the progression. It's got to be, as I said earlier, the baby steps. But, you know, Finner's looking for an excuse there. That's not a good thing. You know, he should be in reading out the players in the locker room about why they've just got beaten Murrayfield, not going and shouting at their referees as to why they've got beaten Murrayfield. And to go back to the original point, if there's no GLT there, it should be.
Oh, and what, just briefly as well, from an Edinburgh Capitals perspective, to get that win?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And you could see, you know, very important for D'Orazio and the rest of his players. Just that it must be hard. You've Nottingham, probably talked about Nottingham Panthers fans, you know, throwing their toys out of pram, burning their season tickets and ripping their shirts up and never going to go back to the NIC, and I haven't been since such and such a date and I'm not going back until, so, you know, all these things, the histrionics of supporting a sports franchise, you're guaranteed nothing. And those people that go to Edinburgh, and they're small in number, but they're a faithful tribe, you know, 400, 500, 600 every week, on a good week, to be fair, but, you know, low hundreds. And those guys go for the love of the game and for the love of their city and for the love of that club. And very, very scant reward do they get over the course of the season. So I'm delighted for the people who go along there week in, week out, that they've got a scalp at least to celebrate.
Briefly, let's look at the league table before we move on. The Cardiff Devils leading the way, 33 games, 52 points. We, the Belfast Giants, sit in second. We've played one more game, but we are 5 points behind them on 47. The Fife Flyers sit in third, and the Guildford Flames sit in fourth, 44 points and 42 points respectively. Then you've the Sheffield Steelers just coming back off their European tour, 41 points from 33 games. The Storm, and then the Panthers sit in seventh, 32 games, 39 points. The Clan, they've got that 8th spot at the minute, but there's a real battle going on there because they're level on points with the Coventry Blaze. The Blaze have a game in hand on them, 34 games, 35 games for the Clan. Then you have the Lightning, who seem to have dropped off a little bit, 27 points. The Dundee Stars on equal on 27 points. And then the Edinburgh Capitals propping up the league on 9 points. Let's move ahead, guys. Let's look forward to this weekend's games. We do have 3 games in 3 nights, has been already mentioned. 2 games against the Coventry Blaze on Friday and Saturday before travelling over to face the Guildford Flames on Sunday. In a short while, We're going to hear from the Guildford Flames head coach, Paul Dixon. But Davey, you had the chance earlier to catch up with Danny Stewart of the Coventry Blaze.
I did, Paddy. We're very lucky that on this podcast we're able to get to speak to some coaches, and you get some unedited players' views and coaches' views. And I got talking to Danny Stewart earlier, and I began by asking him, you know, was the league position they're in now probably isn't where they were hoping to be at this stage of the season?
No, certainly not. I think, it's in this league, it's such a fine line between winning and losing. And I think probably, I guess, what best sums up our season is just finding ways to lose hockey game. I think certainly 5-on-5, we've competed with any team we've played for. We've outplayed and outshot teams a lot of nights. But, you know, our special teams haven't always been a strength for us. And, you know, in our discipline as well. And ultimately, it's kind of forced us to lose a lot of close hockey games. I think it's 13 one-goal hockey games this year. So I think it's just finding that extra play and one less bad play to maybe win some hockey games rather than lose them.
And is it a case for yourselves of kind of reassessing your targets on the fly? I feel like, you know, you've had targets at the start of the season that you're probably not quite up on now, but you're within touching distance in the Patton Conference, and obviously now it's all going to be about trying to secure a playoff place and trying to ease up the table as best as you can.
Yeah, no, obviously the conference for us is certainly a goal at this time, midway through the season, and we find ourselves in pretty good position in the cut within the conference. And, you know, obviously the Challenge Cup is done with, and, you know, the league, winning the league is obviously, out of the question as well. So, you know, it allows us to focus on the conference. But yeah, I think in doing that, sometimes it forces you to overlook the other games. So, you know, we just certainly, you know, we create some short-term goals, and we look at things from one game at a time. And, you know, going into a weekend like this, you can't look ahead. You know, 3-3s are always tough, especially when you include the travel.
Well, before a couple of questions about some personnel that you have, but you bring up the 3-3 this weekend, obviously Belfast for the first two, and then things back home to Manchester on the Sunday night. That's going to be a difficult weekend for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think for anyone that has to play those three games in three nights, but, you know, at the same time, every team has to do it at some point in the year. And, you know, it's just a matter of me managing minutes. I think the good thing for us is we've just got, Wojtek Klaus back from suspension, and right now we're not carrying any injuries. So, you know, we go into the weekend full health, which is a massive deal. And, you go in there a couple bodies short and guys are playing extra minutes. There's no way you make it to the third night with fresh legs. So, you know, it allows us to spread the minutes around and use all our bodies and get everybody involved.
We're in the same position as the other sales, you know, 3-3, a couple against you, and then off to, I think it's Guildford on Sunday night. How difficult is that? You know, it's the whole hockey cliche, you know, you never look beyond the first game. But as a coach, I guess you've got to, as you're saying there, you've got to manage guys carefully because you've got to put three teams out and compete for the points in every night.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's vital. And, your guys that maybe on two nights a weekend or a midweek game that maybe play 30, 35 minutes, you know, you have to find a way to shrink that down a little bit. And if they're playing 30, 35 minutes on the first night, it's going to be a long weekend, especially if they're taking some bumps and, you know, games are physical. And, you know, and obviously depending on the game goes as well, you know, if you're absorbing a lot of pressure and playing a lot of defense, you know, guys are going to play hard minutes and they're going to be tired. So it definitely depends on how you manage guys, but also on how the games go as well.
I'm going to ask you about your goaltending. Kevin Nastiakas came in there, pretty good numbers so far this season. Been getting out of him what you've expected, or has he faced a lot more rubber than maybe what you were hoping?
Certainly, I don't think it's a matter of too much rubber. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, 5-on-5, and throughout most games, we've tended to outshoot our opponents and outchance our opponents. I think, in his case, he's been very good for us. He's given us a chance to win every night, which every coach would say is what they want from their goalie. I think maybe the one area is, you know, he's had a lot of things that have caused him to get more work are those individual errors that maybe our guys have allowed to happen, and, you know, backdoor goals and stuff like that maybe can affect a guy and, you know, have a goalie second out things. And, but he's been good. He's remained confident no matter what. And, And like I said, we haven't absorbed a lot of big defeats or heavy defeats where he's allowed a lot of goals, and you know, a lot of them have been close games that we've been right in there with. And, you know, he's a big reason for that. So, you know, I don't certainly think he's been overworked, you know, maybe overworked in the sense that he's playing every game, and that's always tough on a goalie in this league. So, you know, going into a 3-3, it's, you know, we'll start in game one and see how it goes and go from there. But, you know, I certainly suspect at some point I'd have to get our backup involved.
And then obviously at the other end of the ice, you know, Marc-Olivier Valerand, who's came in, and I'll say for me, he surprised me with certainly the numbers he's put up. You know, he's had a hard career already, if you like. You know, he's got to the Elite League the hard way, and he obviously started his career with a few AHL games, and he's bombed about Europe over the last few years. Is that a bit of a scouting? Is that a guy you've had an eye on for a long time?
No, actually, no. He kind of popped into our radar this summer with, you know, he had a short time playing with my player assistant coach, Brett Robinson, and it was actually Robo that brought him to my attention. And, you know, we began the negotiations through that, and then obviously through his agent. And, you know, as the summer went on, we just did a lot of work and a lot of due diligence to kind of get him here. And, you know, we're glad that it worked out, because he's definitely been a big player for us. You know, having, I think any coach again would love to say they have a guy that's on the score sheet every night, and you know, not just on the score sheet, but scoring goals. And you know, he's that threat, and he's a guy that can, you know, in a close game, that can create something out of nothing and maybe take you over the edge and get your result with a special play.
Well, this weekend, obviously, we've briefly touched on it. You're obviously in Belfast Friday, Saturday night. You know, we've had a couple of good tilts against each other already. A season that was over in the Sky Dome when you comprehensively took us apart earlier in the season there. We'd came off a bit of a road trip, a game in Cardiff where we'd done quite well and got absolutely destroyed the next night. But that was the case. The Blaze jumped out there real quick start that night, and just, you know, the game was over basically after two shifts, really. But is that going to be the key to the game for you on Saturday night or Friday night? You're going to be wanting the guys to come out in the front foot and really take the game to Belfast?
Well, I think certainly a good start is imperative, especially on the road. And you know, we don't look too much into those games earlier in the season. Yes, they've been good games for us. And but you know, I do recall the first game we played them. They had a heavy night in Cardiff and logged a lot of minutes on the penalty kill, and they were short some bodies. And we knew they were going to come fatigued, and we went after them. And whether we do that, I don't know. I'll maybe keep that to myself. But I don't think you can certainly, you know, the start of a 3-on-3, just look to attack and over push against a team like Belfast. They've got a lot of skill, a lot of talent, but at the same time, we're not going to be complacent and play safe. So, it's just playing smart and managing the puck. And yeah, I mean, anytime this team has been able to get on the board first, we tend to be a bit of a different hockey team and playing with a lead rather than chasing a game. So a good start's imperative.
Well, Coach, well, thank you for your time, and we wish you all every success this season, I suppose, starting Sunday.
Okay, I appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
And after the two games against the Coventry Blaze, the Belfast Giants travel on the road for the first time since the turn of the year. That 10-game road stretch seems like a distant memory, but we're back, and this time we travel back to Surrey. Now, the last time we faced the Guildford Flames, it was a 5-3 defeat. But and a man who'll be looking to replicate that is joining us now on the line. That is the head coach of the Guildford Flames. It's Mr. Paul Dixon. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm very good, thanks.
We'll come to the games against the Belfast Giants in a second, but we spoke at the start of the season, or towards the start of the season, of course, Guildford making that step up from what was the EPIHL into the Elite League. Now, you yourself, of course, you're no stranger to the top level of the league, having played with the likes of the Cobras and the Wasps, but that jump and the fact that you now sit fourth in the table, you seem to have dealt with it very well.
Yeah, when you say it like that, yeah, it's hard to believe, really. No, we're delighted. We're absolutely delighted to be where we are on the table. But I said all along, you know, we can't get carried away, because as you can see, on any given weekend, you can go from fourth and I think down to seventh, see how the results go. So it's very tight, which I think obviously for the league itself, is better. I think, like you say, on any given night, there's certainly some strange results that you look at and you think, oh, that team's going to win in there, and then all of a sudden they get beaten. I think it makes it much more for a more entertaining league, and I think from a fan base perspective, I think that's what fans want to see as well. Is there's just there's no given results on any night. But going back to where we are, yeah, like I said, we're over the moon to be sitting in fourth, and you know, I think, like you say, it's very good for us right now.
It's interesting you said about your any given night. You look at the last couple of weeks, and specifically your games against the Cardiff Devils. There you go, and you snap their long winning streak with a win in the Spectrum. But then last weekend you go to them, and it's a much tougher affair.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's no secret. You know, with the statistics that's in the league and different stuff, and you can see. We've been good at home. We've been really strong at home. You know, I think we come out and we play our style of hockey at home, and we put a team together in the summertime that would suit our rink, you know, obviously with the Olympic size ice. And I think with a speed team that we've got, we base that on obviously the home games. And away from home, it just seems of late, our first periods, believe it or not, we were slow to start. And we're obviously looking, as we have been all season, for a solution for this. And don't get me wrong, we've had some good away games, but the pattern certainly over the last five or six games away from home is first period have been hurting us, and we've been going in 3-4 goals down at the end of the first, and then we come out and we start to play the second and third like we can. And like I said, it's a strange one here, but we're working towards getting stronger away from home the first period. There's a few things that we may implicate into that, and but yeah, it's frustrating because, like I said, our home form is very good, but away from home, it's a different story for us.
How does that strong home form, how does that lead to how the Elite League and that step in the Elite League has been received by the fans? Are they? I guess they're happy with what they're being served up now.
I would certainly hope so. I would certainly hope so. No, I think from any fan, whether, you know, in any sport, I think when you come and pay to watch a team, I think you want to see your team work hard, and I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest thing. And we've certainly got a team that works hard every night. And like I said, I touched on the away form, and it's not that we're not working hard away from home for the first 20. We are. Maybe we're working too hard and leaving ourselves a little bit vulnerable, and getting goals scored against and penalties against us away from home hurts us as well. And, you know, we're not a big physical team. We don't take a lot of penalties, but away from home in the first periods, we do seem to be taking a lot of penalties. But going back to the home form and our home fans, yeah, I, like I said, it's about working hard, and it's about showing commitment to the team. And I think if the fans see that, then, you know, they feel that it's value for money, and they go away from that. Whether you get beat 3-2 or whether you win 5-1, I think all that fans want to see is an honest, hard-working team. And like I said, in the summertime, we put this team together to do that. And so far, I think we've achieved that.
That's interesting because, you know, obviously in the EPIHL, the Guildford Flames were a very competitive, high-flying, you know, championship side with the titles, sure, and the cups that you have. So so coming in now, obviously with the Elite League and that step up, you're there to compete and maybe, you know, step by step reach to that Elite League title. And do you feel that there's an expectation on your shoulders?
Well, I think the thing is the problem now that you have, obviously, with Guildford in the leagues where they've played, we've always challenged at the top. We've won, you know, I think the last 19 years, we've won 19 major trophies, mm-hmm, in them leagues where we played the BNL before the EPL. So I think that, yeah, but I think there's an understanding there from our fans that, obviously, the Elite League, it is what it is, and we're going from, obviously, 5 imports from 8 imports in the BNL, and now we're up at 14. So it's a whole different culture for us. But, we just have to build, and, you know, there probably will be an expectation as we go down the line here. But I think for our first year, it was about coming in, it was about competing, it was about having a competitive team. And like I said, it was about playing well at home and hopefully getting some results at home, and you can build on that. And that's where we want to go. I think, you know, you have to have your feet firmly on the ground. I did an interview for the Cardiff quarterfinal there, the second leg, and it's like, you know, we're under no illusions here. There's Cardiff, there's Belfast, there's Nottingham, there's Sheffield, and, you know, the big four that win championships, that win trophies. And then, you know, you've got the Fifes, you've got the Manchesters and the Coventrys coming in, and the Coventrys won a lot in this league as well. And so you can go through every team, and it's a deep roster, it's a deep league. And our feet are firmly on the ground, and, you know, we're in a great place right now. And, you know, everybody around the club's really excited about what the future holds. But we just have to make sure that we can, you know, finish this season strong, and then hopefully we can build again. And we've had our first year in the league, and like I say, you just have to adapt, and I think we've adapted really well so far. But now we look to the future, and, you know, it's hard to win trophies in any league that you play, and it's going to be harder in this league to win trophies, because, like I said, there's now, you know, there's 7 or 8 teams that potentially could win any of the 3 trophies that's up for grabs, and I think it's such a hard thing to do. And like I say, but I think we just have to take it step by step. But, you know, we're all open-eyed here, and like for the hockey thing, it can change. It can change your league, because, like I said, the league's so tight this year. All of a sudden, you're in a playoff place, and then you have a bad run, and then you're going to be out. So, you know, we've got one eye on that, and it's kind of, you can't get carried away. I think the biggest thing is that we just keep on working every day. And like I said, I've got a good group, and we come into work, we work hard, we have fun. And, the weekend's games are exciting. The boys want to get into them games, and it's like you just don't know what's going to happen.
It's funny you say about the group, and you and they come in and they're excited. You've certainly got a bunch of lads who are producing. Dunbar, Craig, Ackert, all sitting in, you know, the top 5 with regards to league-wide scoring. But then when you look further down the roster, you know, Reddick, Waters, Ferguson, these guys are still mid-30s with regards to points production. You have that point spread amongst your forwards and a strong defence as well.
It's funny you touch on that, because obviously, you know, a lot of people in the summertime when we signed this team, and obviously I knew a lot of the guys I was signing from former teammates of mine, through former coaches of mine. So we did a lot of homework, and it was funny because even people that's been in the league for, you know, everybody questions who are these guys we're signing, where we're going to get our goals from. We'll be lucky to score one goal a game. And I think so far, I think we may be the highest scoring team in the league, and it is spread across the board. And I think obviously with a bunch of no-name signings that we made, it makes me laugh inside a little bit, because obviously we kind of knew the talent that we were getting. But it's with this group, I think they've embraced what we are. They've certainly come in, and I think they've just bought into what we're doing as a team. And I think I can't emphasize enough the team morale that these guys have got. And like I say, they come into training and they just work hard. They work hard for one another. And I think a lot of the guys have played with confidence. And I think, you know, any sportsman at any level, if you feel good about yourself and if you've got confidence, and, you know, you get an extra 10 or 15% of these guys. And I think because from day one, we were competitive in our first few games against Nottingham, and also Belfast was the opening game of the season. And we showed in that weekend that we could compete straight away. And I think the guys got confident from that. And I think it's just kind of, it's gone on and it's snowballed on. But, you know, the group that we've got, and the name, we've got secondary scoring from our defencemen. But that was a game we touched on it in the summertime, that I wanted to bring maybe more offensive defencemen who could skate and join the play, because that's the style of hockey that we want to play here. We want to play hockey, and we want to play it the right way. And my belief now is the game's changed, and I think it is about speed, it is about transition, it's about getting the puck from the defense to the offense as fast as you can. And, you know, we thought long and hard about the direction we were going to go in the summer, and that's the way we went. And I think the team, I think with the guys that we've got, is just set up for that style of hockey. So you are seeing high scoring players come in, and like I said, but they have got confidence. They've got confidence, and they're enjoying the time in Guildford. They're enjoying each other, and I think that shows certainly throughout the team.
It's interesting. One of the comments you made there is signing some no-name players, which I think, you know, one of the names that stood out at the start of the season, and a guy with a lot of experience in the Elite League and success in the Elite League, was Brian Stewart. Now, unfortunately, you were forced into a goalie change and had to bring in Chris Carosi, but Chris has been doing very well in that position, having stepped in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think if you ask any coach throughout the world of hockey, and you know, your netminder, for me, your netminder's your number one. And when we sat down, obviously Brian with his 3 years experience, and I think it was just what we were looking for. We were looking for that real anchor, a guy that knew the league. This was our first thought in the summertime. I spoke with Brian. I've watched Brian probably 15 times play over the last 3 years. Actually, I went to see games. I was really impressed with what Brian, what he was as a person, and how he was obviously in net as well. And we just felt for our first year with that experience and Brian's compete level that he was our guy. So obviously we signed him in the summertime. He was ready for that change from Coventry. And I just thought, you know, that was the route we went down. And then obviously Brian got injured. And we just, you know, we had to find the right replacement for Brian, because it was going to be a long-term injury for Brian. And like I said, from day one, we set out and we wanted to compete, you know, and obviously my owner made funds available to go and get another goalie. And, you know, that was a great find for us with Chris. He was a guy that we looked at in the summertime previously. His name came through, but like I said, Brian was the number one in the summertime that we went after. But then Chris came available. He was still available when Brian was injured, and I spoke with Chris a couple of times and did some homework on him and spoke to a few guys that I know knew Chris, and we brought him in. And like I said, I think straight away he made a huge impact, and Chris has just gone from strength. I mean, you know, if you do follow the statistics, I think when he first came in, he was down at number 10, and that was only because of the games that he played. His stats weren't that great. And then all of a sudden you've seen him go from 10 to 9 to 7 to then, you know, I think he was up to number 3. I think he might just be sitting at number 3 or 4 at the minute, but he's just gone strength to strength. And it's a game. He's a cool goalie. He's a calm goalie. Maybe a little bit different than Brian, as we know from all the years. Brian's kind of, he's more of an aggressive goalie. Certainly two different, very types of goalies between the two of them. Yeah, but he's been good. He's been calm. He's been a good influence from the boys as well. And I think that's just rubbed off on the team as well. And like I said, he's had a really good impact. And, you know, maybe we did get lucky with getting Chris, but he's certainly been a big factor to helping us where we are also in the league. Like you say, we've had some big games where Chris has just kept us in there, and we've managed to go and win them games.
Let's looking ahead to this weekend, Paul. Obviously, with your preparations for the weekend, you probably don't want to look any further than Saturday when you take on one of your own former teams in the Sheffield Steelers. But if you'd indulge us in looking at Sunday, when the Belfast Giants roll into town, obviously that game, I mentioned it earlier, the 5-3 win for you guys at the Spectrum was probably the first time we'd lost on the road in that stretch that we had, and it was a real strong performance by the Guildford Flames. Obviously, there was some Dops issues and all fell out of as well. But what are you expecting from this weekend, from this Sunday against the Giants?
I mean, like I say, the three games that we've certainly played against the Giants so far, the two in Belfast and obviously the one in Guildford, I thought they've been really good games. And I think we've pushed, certainly the two games in Belfast, we pushed all the way against obviously a very strong, a very good Giants team. And then the game in Guildford that you just spoke about there. Yeah, I think the Giants just got themselves a little bit into some penalty troubles, and I think we capitalised on a couple of power plays that kind of, we were ahead of the game, and the Giants kind of never were able to get back into the game after we did get ahead with a couple of power play goals. But I mean, it was a good game, and it could have went either way. But like I said, I mean, going to the Giants team, they've got a bit of everything. I think it's a really well balanced team. Obviously, Adam's put a really strong team together. And I think they've got the size, they've got the speed, they've got the skill, you know, they've got the toughness as well. And like you say, for me, along with a couple of the other teams, it's a well balanced team. And I think obviously with the addition of, is it Rutherford as well, I think that just, obviously it's just another dimension maybe that they didn't have at the start with his speed and his tenacity that makes them stronger as well. And, you know, up front, they've got fast forwards, they've got physical forwards, you know, they play a really well-rounded game, and we know it's going to be backs to the wall again for us on Sunday, certainly. after we go up to Sheffield on Saturday. But we know what to expect. And I think, like I said, the three games previous have been really good games. I think, obviously, from a fan perspective, both in Belfast and in Guildford, there've been three good games to watch. I hope you'd agree that the games in Belfast were very, very evenly matched. And like you say, a goal or two here or there, and same in Guildford as well. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll be a real barn burner on Sunday, and I'm sure that the Giants, obviously just sitting second at the minute, they're going to want the 2 points to go up the table, but they're going to want some revenge on us as well, because obviously we beat them in Guildford the last time, so that's going to be a factor as well. So, yeah, but like I said, it should be a good game.
Fantastic. Well, that game is on Sunday. Obviously, the two games against the Coventry Blaze on Friday and Saturday, then over to the Spectrum on Sunday at 6 p.m. Paul Dixon, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you, as always.
Thanks to Paul Dixon and to Danny Stewart. Those games, two games at home, as we seem to be having a lot of, because we've got this fantastic back end of the season where we've got a lot of home games. But it is two games against the Coventry Blaze Friday and Saturday night at 7 p.m. Get yourselves down to the SSE Arena. And if you can't, Belfast Giants TV is, of course, the place to be. Who have you got this weekend then, says Spyside? Is it going to be Garson Johnner again? They've been very good, I have to say.
It depends on Dustin Johnner's health. He was hoping to be pushing for an appearance at some stage, and so it really depends. I'll probably find out Thursday, so we'll let the people know then. But Mark Garside loves it now, so I think he's wanting to do it again.
Dave, have you been enjoying it? The two of them have been good.
I think that it's kept it fresh by Jeff Mason's absolutely brilliant on it. Garce, as I said earlier, very, very dry and non-excitable, but his actual insight into the game I find very, very interesting. And then the likes of North American guys, you have Dustin Johnner, Nicker, who done it last year. You've had other guys. Anybody that gets hurt seems to come up, apart from Stephen Murphy,
We're talking to Murphy the other day, and I think we're going to get him on as well at some point. But, I mean, you're talking about, guys who maybe they're quiet and they're dry, as you said, David. Dustin Johnner and Mark Garside are fist pumping goals. We had to have a conversation with, actually, I got a tweet or a message from you, David, basically saying, Dustin Johnner's great, but telling not to like the Nottingham Panthers too much at the end of the first period. Be too complimentary. And I did say to him about it, and he's gone. And he said to me after the game, he says, I thought we had to remain unbiased as me. Basically, you're a Belfast Giants player, and I think he got it when he obviously heard me screaming, and he said to me after the game, he says that was absolutely totally unbiased. I says, of course it was, 100%. So, but yeah, it's great having the options of doing it with these guys, and Garside, he really enjoys it now as well.
Yeah, those two games against the Blaze, Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m, and then we're away to the Guildford Flames at the Spectrum Sunday at 6 p.m. There is no webcast, but we'll see what coverage we can find, and we'll tweet it up. Gents, briefly, three games in 3 days is a tough one.
Very tough. I expect Chris Trull to get a bit of ice time this weekend, and it's been a real difficult stay in Belfast for him. And obviously Jackson Whistle's playing very, very well. And do you know what? You probably look at it as a backup netminder. If Mark Garside was playing, he would probably get more ice time. But the way Jackson's been playing, you probably wouldn't expect him, if you know what I mean. That sounds a bit weird, but obviously with Chris being an import and losing Garside, if he was playing in defence, then it frees up another. You'd maybe leave a forward out if you're maybe not feeling up to 100%. But I would expect him to get ice time this weekend. So he's got a couple of wins under his belt now, and hopefully he can push on from there. And if he's called upon, he can do the business. But 3-3 is always tough, Paddy. Luckily, you've got the first two at home. It's not away, home and away. So you've got the first two at home. I'm not too sure where Guildford are on the Saturday night. Hopefully, they're up in Dundee or something. They've got to drive the whole way down.
Sheffield.
That'll be a tough job for them as well. And Sheffield are looking to try and get some form back in and pick up a few points after a couple of disappointing weekends. So it's going to be tough. But, again, one game at a time, these guys on this roster are capable of picking up points in every single one of those games, and and hopefully that is the case.
Davey, it's an absolute disgrace that the Elite League are forcing us to travel all the way to Guildford. Haven't we travelled enough?
Oh, yeah. In one. You know, it's... Simon's hit nail on the head there. You know, it's going to be a tough weekend, and we just have to come out on Friday night. And we talked to Curtsy earlier there. You know, it's about managing the rest. It's about managing the bodies, about ice time. It's about managing getting food, you know. And it's going to be difficult. Guildford are a hard team to beat there as well. But we can't be worrying about Sunday until they've got Friday out of the way, and then we'll look at Saturday, and then we'll look at Sunday. But hopeful for another good weekend.
This is Colin Shields from the Belfast Giants, and you're listening to View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite Ice Hockey League.
Right, let's get stuck into the fan agenda with our friends at Belfast Giants TV. Just like last week, we've got a very special one. A man with 12 goals and 11 assists to his name so far this season. He bookended the scoring on Saturday against the Nottingham Panthers, scoring after only 14 seconds and rounding off with about 7 seconds left in the game, or 10, 15 seconds left in the game. Mr. John Kurtz, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great, mate. Great. When we spoke to you way back in the summer before you came in to join the side, one of the things we spoke about is the fact that you were looking to come into the Elite League and not so much change your role, but have a more of a scoring role, have a more of a points-based role. And you've now got 23 points on the board. You had 20 points last season with Syracuse. Do you feel your role has changed? Do you feel you're now more of that point scorer?
You know, maybe a little bit. I still feel like I'm a little bit underperforming. You know, offensively at the moment, but you know, I'm starting to feel the puck a little bit more recently after coming back from injury. And, but overall, yeah, I think, you know, I think my game's starting to come around a little bit, and hopefully, it turns into some more goals and some quicker ones.
Well, on that, on the weekend gone by, the two games against the Nottingham Panthers, fantastic atmosphere, especially on the Saturday at the SSE Arena. But what was your take on the weekend as a whole?
I mean, I don't really have any complaints about the weekend. When you go into Friday, Saturday games against Nottingham, you know they're going to be good battles. And to come out of that with 4 points was absolutely huge for us, because that's a team that's, you know, kind of nipping at our heels and trying to catch us in the standings like we are trying to catch Cardiff. So, you know, we managed to get 4 points out. I think we got a little bit sloppy at times, but... you know, sometimes you just got to find a way to win, and sure enough, we were able to pull it off.
Curtsy, it's Kitchy. You've obviously, this is your first trip over to Europe to play. How are you finding it compared to, obviously, there's a few changes with the bigger ice pad, but how do you feel you're settling in?
You know, I love it so far. Like you mentioned, the ice pad or the ice size was a bit of an adjustment at first. You know, everything's just a little bit, you know, the angles are off. You got, you know, your positioning's off a little bit. But you know, I think I'm starting to settle in well. I've had a couple injuries I had to work past, but you know, I'm getting over those now, and you know, I'm looking forward to the final stretch of the season here, and then going into the playoffs and Challenge Cup. There's a lot of exciting things ahead for us, for myself, and for the Giants.
Curtsy, it's Davey. I know that you said, And Paddy alluded to it as well, that you've came and you want to maybe up the production in terms of points and assists and stuff that you've done over your career, but you've still got that hard edge role. You know, you've taken on Gagnon for the team. You've had a few tilts earlier in the season in Cardiff, and that when the team needed it. And the coach spoke about you over the weekend, saying, you know, you'd came so highly recommended by his brother Sheldon, and you knew that what your role, and you're still playing that role, and you could see how energized the guys were on Saturday night whenever you picked up the Man of the Match award. It must be still, that's a tough job you have to do, but it must be great to know that your teammates appreciate it so much.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that, you know, that little bit of edge will always be part of my game. You know, that and and a lot of penalty killing as well, stuff that helps the team win, but doesn't necessarily show up on your stats at the end of the season. But they're a big part of the team, and I'm happy to do that. And I've always been a guy who do whatever it takes for a teammate and stuff like that. So if the boys need a little pick me up, then I'm willing to do what I can to help out.
As we normally do with these sections, Curtis, we put it out on the Twitter to see some of the fans if they want to ask you a few questions. We got one in here from Stevie Thompson, who is very going back to what Davey said there. He asks, "Who's the better coach, Sheldon or Adam?"
Adam, of course. Hopefully he's listening.
Do you see any?
More
do you
ice
see
time, that'll work out.
Do you see any similarity between the two styles of the two brothers?
I think, well, Sheldon's had a little bit more experience behind the bench, and there's certain aspects in the game, and I'm sure resources in Toronto help him a lot, that he sees a little bit differently than Adam. And there's certain games and or parts of the game that Adam definitely sees better than his brother, because he's just finished playing, and he understands what's going through players' minds and stuff like that. But I've seen, a significant improvement, or I don't know if you want to call it an improvement, but maybe it's just getting a little bit more experience from Coach Adam here throughout the season. And, I think he's going to have a very bright future behind the bench, and he's going to win, a lot of games and hopefully a few championships along the way.
One of the other questions that was on our TFA, Curtsy, is how do you compare the organization of the Belfast Giants and the facilities with other teams that you've played for? That's from Andre Owens.
I don't have a bad thing to say how we get, how the players and staff's treated in Belfast. We have a great rink, great facility, great staff. I have no complaints. And you know what? We get treated a lot better here than, a lot of AHL teams do, back in the States and Canada. So, we're very lucky to have that here. Absolutely.
Curtsy, you were talking earlier in the interview there about doing the on-scene things that not necessarily show up on your personal stat chart to come the end of the season. But one that was noted on Saturday night there, the empty net goal at the end of the game, 4,000th all time for the Belfast Giants. So no matter what happens with the rest of John Curtsy's career, he's going down in the Belfast Giants history books.
Yeah, I'm already taking a lot of grief in the dressing room about it. So it was pretty cool to see that, actually. And hopefully people don't get confused that, it's my 4,000th goal scored, but I got a long way to go.
We got one in from Dylan Coy, and he says, "Hey, Curtsy, what about a rematch on Xbox NHL Shootout? Have to redeem myself, but thanks, mate, for the video message and visiting me." Dylan. Dylan's such a character, and it's great to be involved with these guys.
Anytime, Dylan. Yeah, anytime, Dylan. I went and beat him in a little video game last week, I think it was. So it's 1-0 Curtsy in that regard. So, I'll give you a best out of three chance for sure.
But on the likes of Dylan, and of course, Wee Blake and stuff like that, maybe an aspect of the Belfast Giants when you came in, there was a great thing to be part of.
Sorry, can you repeat the last part?
I was saying about, when you're getting involved with these kids, the likes of Dylan, the likes of Blake, and that being part of the Belfast Giants ethos, is it something that you find as a great thing to be part of?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot more important things than just the hockey game, and to see the outreach that the Giants have in the community, and in the friendships I've made so far, and the players have made, and connections with families and children, is it's very touching. And to be part of something like that and have the opportunity to reach out and meet some new people, and maybe some people are a little bit less fortunate, it's something I don't take lightly, and I'll take advantage of. Absolutely. Anytime I can.
Curtsy, which one of the things, I was listening to an interview that Adam had with me last week. What I mean, I was listening to an interview. I was talking to Adam last week. he was saying you know, he came out with a quote that another sportsman's used before, we're not here to take part, we're here to take over. Do you feel that's the mentality? Do you feel that's the mentality that he's actually trying to put into the team?
You know, I think so. I thought it was pretty, you know, that's from that Conor McGregor song, if I remember correctly. And I think it fits us pretty well because, you know, we're kind of sitting in the passenger seat right now trying to catch Cardiff. And, you know, I don't think with the group of guys we have in the locker room, I don't think we'd be satisfied with just winning the league or a Challenge Cup or playoffs. I think, you know, every player in that locker room, including the coaching staff, think we have the ability to, you know, not win just one trophy, but hopefully a couple more.
Curtis, it's Davey again here. Obviously, as hockey guys, he's never sort of looked more than one game ahead. But obviously, this weekend with 3 and 3 nights, and it's going to be a lot of ice time management and injury management and just general, you know, looking after your body and refueling after games and resting as much as you can. Is this the challenge of 3 and 3 nights going to be something different that we haven't had for a while?
Yeah, I don't think we're just talking in the locker room with the guys. It's been a while since, you know, most of the players have played 3 games in 3 nights. You know, when I was a bit younger, I didn't. As years go by, you can, you know, by that third game and, you know, whatever, 2.5 days ends up being, your body's definitely a bit sore. So I know the boys are taking care of the bodies this week and making sure that, you know, any nagging injuries and stuff like that is taken care of before the weekend. And there'll definitely be an emphasis on recovery because every game from here on out is huge. And, you know, we can't just show up and try and expect 2 points. We got to make sure we're physically prepared and mentally as well.
And on that, the one final question coming from Twitter comes from JJ Logue, who asks what's your favorite thing to do on a day off, or and how did you bump into Rory?
Day off, me and my roommates Kevin and you know, I see a lot of movies personally. Day off, you know, I like to go out in the city, explore a little bit, see things I haven't seen. And I actually, a few of us were at the gym, it was probably over a month ago, and we were just walking out of the gym after workout, and we ran into Rory. Actually, Rainer was like, oh, isn't that some golf guy standing over there? And I turn, I look, and it was Rory McIlroy. I was kind of starstruck. It was the first time I've ever seen him in person. And I thought it was really cool, so we were able to snag a quick picture with him. And every time I go to the gym now, I'm thinking about carrying a golf ball or something, and I get signed and bring back home to my buddies. But I thought it was really cool. Rainer, I guess he was a bit indifferent.
are you a golfer yourself? Have you had a chance to sample some of the fine golf courses around the place?
I haven't been out on any courses yet, but I'm hoping once the snow stops and it warms up a little bit, we can get out. Towards the end of the season when we're celebrating a couple of championships.
Well, no better way to finish the thing. Thanks to everybody who sent in their questions for the TFA, and thanks very much, John, and good luck this weekend.
Of course, anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
Take 22, this is Jason Taff Ellery. Listening to... Oh, Take 26, this is Jason Taff Ellery. Listen to A View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite League.
Thanks again to John Kurtz. Any other business, John?
Just while we've been recording this, I've just, you know, as you do when Davey's off on a rant, you sort of get to look at and check up Facebook and Twitter and what have you. I don't know if you've caught it on the Twitter while you've been sitting there, Paddy. But have you seen Blake's room?
No.
Get on the Twitter and have a look at Blake's room.
Yeah.
It is an absolute man cave of hockey. That is absolutely outstanding. I'm going to have to get an invite down there.
That's amazing.
It's fantastic. I couldn't resist not giving him a wee mention. The wee man, he missed a game on Saturday, which he doesn't like to do, you know, and he was away at a wedding, and he was sitting putting the, you know, with the laptop on top of the dinner table when everybody else is eating. He's sitting watching the hockey. And I have to give him a shout out. He sent me a birthday. He sang happy birthday to me and sent me a video last week as well, which was, it's fantastic. Sort of, brilliant. Absolutely superb. Wee man's wee legend.
Let's see if we can, well, I'm just looking at it all. I'm watching the wee video now as I'm looking around, and we'll have to see if we can get something to him for A View from the Bridge. Has to be added to that room, I think, in some way. David, you have anything?
For A View from the Bridge? to send the plague. I'm sure we've got a mug knocking about somewhere, Simon. Any of those left, or sure. They all get pilfered away?
I will give him mine. If they're all pilfered away, you can have mine. There's no problem.
Yes, we'll get something for Blake from A View from the Bridge, absolutely. And but no, any other business this week. Just all those kids out there who are feeling a wee bit under the weather, feeling a wee bit blue, you know, keep your chin up, kids. We're here if you want to hit us up on Twitter or whatever and have a wee chat, or if one of you wants a game on the Xbox and wants to beat me, that's no problem either, sure. Back me up, maybe 4690 on the Xbox and we'll have you a game.
One thing I saw say in the last couple of days is, you going back to the cinema?
We're hoping
possibly.
In fairness, with Sheffield Steelers are have been great now, and we've had a chat with them already. We spoke to the cinema, had a chat with them, so we just need to tie a few wee odds and ends up, and hopefully get that for Sunday the 28th. We did ask Nottingham to see if they would be open to showing it to a one-off audience in the cinema for the 27th, and we got a resounding no.
Why would you do that?
Well,
I wonder what the logic behind that is, Simon. Actually, I'm going to have a little rant about this, because none of the people, and I mean none of the people that would go to watch that in the cinema, will be going to the game. It's not like by saying, you know, right, we can't show it in the cinema, all those people are going to say, right, well, let's get a flight and let's get a hotel and let's go to Nottingham. It ain't going to happen.
Well, to be honest with you, I spoke to Thorts about it, and Thorts did ask the question. You know, the support we've got from the organisation for the OSC has been brilliant. You know, just wee simple things that you maybe don't think of, and you know, whatever we want to do, it's not a problem. So we did ask the question of Nottingham. We even said that we would not announce it until the day before. So anybody that was going to go, they would have booked their flights, they would have booked their tickets, they would have done everything, hotel and everything booked. And we would have, if we had announced that.
Just here, I'll give you another scenario. How much would you, roughly, would the Nottingham Panthers have got from the OSC for putting that game in the cinema?
Well, we always offer. We'd probably. It depends, you know. If we can get
don't,
the numbers.
Don't give your finance.
No, look, David, as an OSC, we've nothing to hide, so I've no problem. You know, I've no issue at all in saying, you know, we the numbers you get for the Sheffield Steelers game. You know, you're looking in between £250 and £400.
So you'd be offering the Nottingham Panthers £400 or £500 to show the game.
Well, did you not listen? Said 250 to 400.
Okay, £250 to £400. How many bums on seats that in Nottingham? 15 quid times 10 is 150. You know, it just makes no sense.
Well, that's just to work it out this way. It's easier to work it out. You've already talked about the negativity coming in about the organisation in Nottingham. You know, seeing John O'Bullard going on and saying about things and you know, about the. He hasn't been for a month and he hasn't missed it. And if he doesn't go for another month and doesn't miss it again, the longer you stay away from it, the harder it is to go back. And, you know, for the Nottingham Panthers, if that's, I'm not here to tell them how to organise their business. And, you know, Neil Black's a very successful businessman and, you know, in other avenues. And that's up to, whatever he decides is up to him. But we offered him on a plate. We would have got 150 for argument's sake, that maybe 180. In the cinema on that night, we would have been able to just PayPal into his account straight away, no issues whatsoever. The way we've done with Sheffield, and Sheffield have been great. Absolutely, Sean Smith, I'd like to thank from Sheffield and giving us support and letting us show the product. And Cardiff Devils have done the same. Milton Keynes have done the same. No issue, not a problem at all. They're all very pleased. We've stuck by anything we've said to them, and we'll send them the money by PayPal a week or 10 days beforehand. And I'm going to be phoning or emailing Sean more likely tomorrow or Thursday, and we're hoping to announce before the weekend about whether the Sheffield game is going to be on or not. But I can't fathom. I just can't get my head around why they wouldn't want to show it. I just don't get it.
It's not even the it's getting on my nerves. It's not even the financial side of it, because £250, £300, whatever, to the Nottingham Panthers is nothing. It's about letting people that can't physically get to the game watch the game. It's about letting hockey fans see hockey, but seeing the product, trying to get new fans that maybe will go to Nottingham next year. Look, oh, that arena looks great. Let's get there. It's just
said
so
no light. One ever.
Yeah. 9-8.
Now, do you know what? You just touched on it, Davey. I was speaking to Taff this morning, and he there was a guy from Nottingham, Big Pete 25 on Twitter, called out the captain, Blair Riley. You know, he wasn't happy about something that was said or done at the weekend. You know, Blair told him meet on him on the 9th green at 9. He didn't take it very well. He asked a, you know, say, look, maybe I'd say the Premier in behind the arena. We turned up as AVFTB and the roving reporter, and there was nobody there. You know, when you get Nottingham Panthers fans coming to Belfast and tweeting out about the experience that they've had at the SSA Arena and how much the Nottingham Panthers as an organisation can learn from the Belfast Giants, you just need to tip your cap, because do you know what? We are the best game night in the league. No doubt about it. Absolutely none whatsoever. The guys, you know, like say, James Glover, Mark Brooks, you know, Johnny, everybody behind the organisation itself, Steve Thornton and co, you know, the effort that they put into putting this together, all the volunteers on, you know, on game night, I don't know how many James has got. I'd be guessing in the region of probably 30 volunteers every single night. Many of them don't even get to watch the game. You know, they're sitting in a room counting the funds that have been raised in from 50-50 or shirt off the back, or they're moving stuff around, you know, from selling yearbooks to get them all together again, stick them into storage, or doing the selling of the 50-50 and what have you. This organization couldn't run without the volunteers. Absolutely not. And everything that goes together to put in that whole thing, and ultimately, you know, it's Glover that puts it together, and I don't know if he can hear me because he's right next door. I live there now, so, you know, I don't know if he can hear coming through the wall, but he's got to be commended, because, you know, I know it's always Brooksy and I know it's always Steve to get all the plaudits. James doesn't get the plaudits he needs to, in my opinion. Absolutely fantastic. He's there on game days, he's there from 9 o'clock in the morning, and he doesn't get out there after 11 o'clock at night. He's just bad. You know, Taft's is bad. Taft's there even before 9 o'clock in the morning on game days, and he doesn't get away until 1:30 at night. If this is his home arena, not away trips. So we're very, very lucky to have these people in our organisation. And that's not ass-kissing. That's not, you know, that's not basically people who, there's always somebody wanting to whinge about something. But that's fact. And this, as I say, this organisation is very, very lucky to have such good people in those posts.
Hear, hear. I think on that note, we'll draw the show to a close. Thanks to Kevin Rain, Adam Keefe, Danny Stewart, Paul Dixon and John Kurtz. The two games at the SSA Arena Friday and Saturday night at 7 p.m. And of course that game away to the Guildford Flames. We lost last time 5-3, so hopefully a little bit of revenge when we go in there Sunday, 6 p.m. Thanks to everybody for their interaction on Twitter at AVFTB, on the Facebook, just search A View from the Bridge. And of course, you can get all of our post-game interviews and other bits and pieces from our SoundCloud account, soundcloud.com/AVFTB. David and Simon, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Cheers, lads. See you again.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Yeah.